let us begin this week's Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor, the Parsha of the Moadim. It's the Parsha of Kohanim. It's the Parsha of the Megadeth. The Mevorech Es Hashem. There are a lot of Yisoidos in Parshas Emor. The first Yisoid let's discuss is, it's also very important, Haftarah. The first Yisoid is a very powerful Yisoid from I'm losing my mind over here. How did I forget? Avol Yashiv, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha. Okay? Avol Yashiv, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha is a very powerful Yisoid. He emphasized the idea in the first Rashi, Emor El HaKoyhanim B'nei Aharon. Emor V'yamarto Lahazir G'doylim Al HaKetanim. What's the first Rashi in this week's parasha? Hashem says to Moshe, Emor El HaKoyhanim B'nei Aharon V'yamarto Aleihem. The repetition of Emor V'yamarto in the Chazal's understanding is that the adults have to instruct the children. Avol Yashiv, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, he points out to the Gemara Masechta Shabbos that tells us that when Talmai HaMelech, he gathered the 71 Zikanim of the Sanhedrin and put them in a room and demanded that they translate the Torah into Greek, a miracle happened that they were able on their own to translate, to make a few minor changes. Ace Lasa Slashem Heferu Sarusecha. They assumed that Talmai HaMelech, his Goyshe mentality, would not be able to understand the nuances of the Torah HaKadoshah, and they had no choice but to make some translations which were not 100% accurate. And this, in their understanding, was according to the Torah's will, and it was a miracle that every single member of the Sanhedrin, every single one, was mechav into the same thing. One of the things, fascinating concept, Avol Yashiv says, ties right into this Rashi, is a pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim, Vayalu Naare Yisrael Oilos. At Matan Torah, they brought Oilos. They brought Karbon Oilos. Who were the people who represented Klal Yisrael to bring at Har Sinai? At Har Sinai, the Oilos. It says in the pasuk, the Naare, the young men. Naare in the Torah is a Shiloh. What exactly is the age of the Latzile B'nei Yisrael? But it says also the word Naare. By Yishlaches Naare B'nei Yisrael, they send the young men. And they brought Eloi. So Moshe and Klal Yisrael, they send the young boys. Who are the Naare? So you could assume they were the 13-year-olds, the 14, the 18-year-olds. They didn't send the 90-year-olds to bring the Eloi. So the 71 Zekanim were afraid that if Talmai HaMelech would read that at the time of Matan Torah, at the time when we became a nation, Hashem gave us the Torah in Hashemayim, that we sent 13-year-old kids to bring Eloys, he would say, you people have no appreciation for your religion. And any other nation, if they would receive a gift from a dignitary, they would have the representatives that would go forth to accept the gift and to reciprocate would be the chashuvim. They would send a congressman, secretary of state, they would send the secretary of defense, maybe they would send the director of the FBI. They would send someone in their eyes who's chashuv to be mekabel the matana. You're sending a bunch of kids, the nare. So they changed the translation from the word nare to zatute. Zatute, I don't know what that word means, but it means someone, the chashuvim. Vayalu, vayishluchu es zatute b'nei Yisrael. That Moshe and the elders, they send the chashuvim, the dignitaries. One second here. Try to reboot. Okay, we reboot. They send the dignitaries to offer the oilos, to show that we were machshiv, we appreciated the greatness of Hashem's gift to us. So the question is, if they had to translate this, how to translate from the word nare to zatute, so why indeed, the question is such a good question, why indeed did Moshe and the Zakenim send in the nare, the young people, and not the chashuvim? And the answer is this Rashi. This Rashi in Chumash, Emor of Yomarta, when it comes to the laws of the Kohanim, are the leaders of Klal Yisrael, they're the teachers. Okay, they're the ones, they're the teachers, they're the leaders, they are the Rosh Yeshiva, they're the Malamdim. And who are the ones that we want to appoint in positions of power and authority and leadership? Emor v'yamarta lahazir gidoylim al hakitanim, which in Rav Eliyashu's understanding means give young people opportunities. In Yadus, the most important thing in Yadus is to give young people opportunities of leadership, of power. You will be shocked how successful they will be. You think just because he's an 18-year-old kid, he's not going to be a good Rebbe, he's not going to be able to inspire children to be matzlich, he's not going to be able to give a good shir. The only one that can give a good shir is someone who's 90 years old with a long white beard. That's the only one who can give a shir. Give young people, and exactly when they went into Mekabel, the Torah, they selected the Na'arei B'nei Yisrael, they did not send the Zakenim, because this is what Yadus is all about. And a goy, Talmai HaMelech, has no hasaga of such a thing. They don't appreciate that it's possible for young people to have siyata d'shrei to be matzliach in success, in leadership, and in leading the nation. And it's critical. You see all the greatest failures in Klal Yisrael, all institutions and all different segments of Klal Yisrael, is where the old generation failed to prepare a new generation to succeed them, to give them, to hand over the reins of authority in a very early state. This is natural. This is a major yesod when dealing with the Kohanim, which represent the teachers, the leaders, the guides of Klal Yisrael, lahazir gidoylim al haketanim. It's the Na'arei B'nei Yisrael, not the Zatutei B'nei Yisrael. That's a lesson that is essential for the continuity and the survival of Klal Yisrael.
On the other hand, Rechavam HaMelech listened to the young ones and not the old ones.
That's a question of advice. There, Rechavam is the Melech, and Rechavam has to make a decision. So you need advice. So you have to know, do you listen to the Zakenim, who have all the experience, or do you listen to the young generation? Here we're dealing with installing people with responsibility. I remember, you know, my father, Zichron Levracha, when he was a Rav, he had a custom Friday night, between Mincha Maariv and Friday night, he would have little children speak between Mincha Maariv. The shul in those days was packed. Mamish, packed to the rafters, standing room only, those before the proliferation of all the shtiloch, and the shul was packed, and you put up literally a 13-year-old kid in front of 200 people, shul is packed, and to say a Dvar Torah for 3, 4, 5 minutes. And the parents would come, the grandparents would come, and this was done every single week in the winter. And Ad Hayom Hazeh, people come over to me, and they tell me, do you know that experience? And how your father didn't take no for an answer, and he pushed all of these children to speak publicly Friday night in front of a shul pack. Do you know that I believe that's responsible for my success? It's because of that I went further. I had a desire to do this and to do this, and I became a Malamed. I became a Rebbe. I became a teacher. I went on to do things I never imagined I would be able to do because he gave me that confidence. Smamish, what it says here. Emor v'yamart, when it comes to teaching, emor lahazir gedoylim al hakatan. Doesn't stam mean make sure your children are not being mechal Shabbos? They're not doing any. It means no lahazir the gedoylim al hakatanim, to give ketanim opportunities to succeed.
In a positive way.
Give them opportunities. Give them responsibility. Give them a role. And if you'll give them a role, you will be shocked how successful they will be, because you're dealing with Klal Yisrael, you're dealing with Siyata Shmaya, and a goy will never have such a hasaga. You're going against the grain of the world, because the world, in a chanani for the world, you have to translate the word nare to zatute. This is the yesoid from Rav Avol Yashav Zecher Tzadik Livracha, how important it is to prepare the young people to give them authority, give them responsibility, give them a role. Okay, let's go to another idea. And this idea, I believe, comes from the Reish Rav of Aaron Levine, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damai. The Reish Rav is a fascinating, but over here we have the parasha of relatives. We know that a person has an obligation, this is not the parasha of Tumah, but a person has an obligation to be mitami, a mitzvah to be mitami with 7 closest relatives. One son person, is an oinein. There's a mitzvah to actually contaminate. It's a very fascinating idea. One may think that if I don't have to be contaminate myself, tum is never a good thing, so maybe it's better let the chever kadisha, or anyway tami, let them deal with the dead, and I'll just stand outside. I'm not going to become contaminated. No. It's a fascinating idea that a person has an obligation to bring upon himself contamination when dealing with one of his 7 close relatives. Now, when it comes to what? the paraduma, you're right. He also, the one kohen, the kohen who prepared the paraduma, he became tame. So you see that there are times when a person has a mitzvah to take a step down. Nechoyis, getting married. Nechoyis, targa, unesiv hitisah. You gotta take a step down. You gotta take a step down in order to take a step up. It's a yirida with tzarech aliyah. Okay, this is a concept. Now, when it comes to kohanim are not allowed to contaminate to anyone that's not one of their closest relatives. That's a no-no. That's a given. However, the Torah here in the Paragim Grash makes an exception. It says over here, ki im lish eroi hakarov elav, a kohen is allowed to contaminate to a relative. That's karov, and then it enumerates seven relatives: leimoi ulaviv livnoi ulavitu ulachiv ulachoyse habasula karov elav asheloi selish lo yitama. Seven close relatives. Fine. Parsha is over. Now go to the pasuk dalet. Lo yitama bal be'amav leheichaloi. What does that mean? Rashi tells us it means that the only time I'm allowing you to contaminate to your wife is only if you're permitted to live with your wife. But let's say a kohen is married to a grusha, you're not allowed to marry. So therefore, the child, so while he's married to the grusha, he is not allowed to do avodah.
He's not a chol.
He's temporarily a chol. The child is a chol. The child that is born from that, you will be a cholol. He is not a cholol. He is just doing an aveira. And while he is married to this woman, he is not allowed to do the avoida. When he gets divorced, then we'll take him back into the Beis Hamikdash. But until that point, he's not allowed to do avoida. So therefore, lo yitam abal ba'amav leheichalo, which Rashi explains to mean that a husband may not contaminate. Baal is a word which means a husband. He's not allowed to contaminate himself ba'amav among his nation, meaning to contaminate himself to his wife, if the wife is a wife that is going to bring for him chilul, she's going to profane his holiness because he's not allowed to live with her. She is a grusha, chalutza midrabanan, or any other example. That is the pshuta shel mikra. The Das Zikainim, the Baal Taisus, the Das Zikainim has a fascinating pshat. He says, and this Shaira Reishrav says, Mamish defines Jewish leadership, a half-lived fella. When he says, lo yitam baal ba'amav, it means kohanim are not allowed to contaminate themselves to the kohen gadol. Lo yitama baal. A baal is be'amav. The leheichalo. The baal here refers to the kohen gadol be'amav among his nation, means among his people, to bring about leheichalo, to bring about chulin. Lo yit. So you know, I already forgot the translation. The precise translation. I don't have the Zaskin in front of me. You have to look it up later. But it means over here is that the Kohanim are not allowed to contaminate themselves for the Kohen Gadol. Now, that we don't think about it like that. But let's make believe the Torah did not write this pasuk, did not tell us this concept. If the Kohen Gadol dies, don't you think that the Kohanim should be allowed to contaminate themselves for the Kohen Gadol? Just like a regular kohen is allowed to contaminate himself for one of his seven relatives, since the institution of kohuna is an institution of leadership.
That's why he says exactly for that is the word
lanefesh. What?
That's why he uses the word lanefesh.
That's the word nefesh here.
No, but
before
the whole parak
is the word nefesh. If we would not have this pasuk, this limud, it's very, you would make a very strong argument that it's a kal v'chomer. If a child is metame himself for a father, alachas kama v'kama, a kohen should be metame himself for the kohen gadol. The kohen gadol is like the Rebbe of the kohen. Called, if Chazal says, who are you mechuyev to give more honor to? To your Rebbe. Your father only brought you into this world, but your Rebbe brings you into Olam Haba. The whole institution of Kohuna, when it's functioning the way it should function, is there's a hierarchy of Kedusha, and the Kohen Gadol is the Rosh Hashiva. He is the highest spiritual man in Klal Yisrael. All of the Kohanim that serve underneath him are his Talmidim, and in addition to being metame yourself to one of your seven closest relatives, it's a given that you're metame yourself to your leader. Isn't that logical? If a child is metame to a father, there's a certain shem of kohen gadol, you metame himself to a spiritual father who is the kohen gadol. It's very, very logical.
Does
that's
the kohen have to metame himself for his
rebbe? No, kohen is not. We learn from this. We learn from this halacha that the halacha l'maisa, the answer definitely is no. But the question is, why not? at least, now you told me a Rebbe who's a Yisrael, maybe you'll say a Rebbe is not the same, but a Kohen Gadol is the Torah's, is the real Rebbe of the Kohen. He's the one who he takes orders from, the Kohen Hedyot, and it's a spiritual relationship. He's your Rebbe, he brings you to Olam Haba, Kal v'choymer, if you're mitame for your seven closest relatives, you should mitame yourself for your Kohen Gadol. And maybe by extension, maybe if there's a hierarchy, I don't know how it works, maybe the Kohanim in your own Mishmar, maybe the Kohanim in your family, maybe there is some type of people who are part of the hierarchy. And yet, the Das, Zikain, and Baal Leitaisis, they learn from this pasuk, they're showing, they have a Messiah, that this pasuk is teaching us, Lo Yitame Baal, the Amav, that there should not be a contamination among the Amav, among the people, among the Kohanim, when the Baal, when the master dies, namely the Kohen Gadol, because that's going to bring about a desanctification of the Kohuna. And the question is, why not? L'choira Adraba, it would be better, like we said originally, the Torah should demand that the Bituhuna. And the answer the Reish Rav gives is because that's exactly what the Torah was very careful that there should be proper balance in Jewish leadership. The Kohen Gadol represents the quintessential Jewish leader. He's a spiritual leader. He's also a leader among, you know, there's a lot of money. Beis HaMikdash brought in a lot of money also. Okay, there's a Truma, there's Meiser, there's a whole Parnasa. There's a lot going on there. He's the ultimate leader. If the Kohen Gadol, the Kohanim will be metamed to the Kohen Gadol, the relationship between the Rebbe and the Talmud would be too close. It would be too much like there would be nepotism. There would be too much korva, like a father and a son. When the Kohen Gadol would see that there's corruption among his people, I see my people, they're not doing what I'm telling them to do. The Kohanim, they're cheating. They're taking too much truma. I'm going to give them mussar. How can I give them mussar? Do you give mussar to your own children? So the person who holds back the stick from his child, obvious. But the way you give mussar to your children is not the way you give mussar to your servants. If you're a melech, you're a melech, and there's a fly in the soup, that's it. The chef is fired. Okay, if the director of the FBI doesn't want to do what you want to do. Okay, so what do? Fired. You're fired. If the director of the FBI is your son, you're not firing him. Okay, you're not going to fire him. Okay, you'll give him. You'll call him into the office, and you'll give him a little mussar, and you'll schmooze with him, and you'll manipulate him. It's a different relationship, being that he's not your son. He's your eved. If you're loyal to me, I'll be loyal to you. Okay, we'll have a very nice, good relationship, but it's not a father-son. If the Kohen Gadol knows that all of the Kohanim are going to contaminate themselves for him, that puts him in a frame of mind, they're my children. These are my children. We're one big happy family over here. I can't distance myself from them when they do something wrong. The way I'm going to give them mussar is not going to be objective. I'll give them mussar, like you give mussar to your child. That's a recipe for disaster. There has to be a distance between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohanim. And the way to create that distance is, what do I care if I give them mussar? Well, they're not going to like me. They're anyway not going to come to my funeral. literally, if they're going to entertain themselves for me, and they're going to eulogize me, and they're going to love me, and they're going to make a shrine for me, I'm going to go give them mussar. You know, it's a kleinikite. It's not kedai to go make a fuss just because someone's cell phone goes off in the middle of the shir. It's not kedai to go make a fuss. What do I care? The Torah says, Lo yitame baal ba'amov. They look at me as just a CEO. That's how they look at me. I'm the spiritual leader of Klal Yisrael. Here today, gone tomorrow. As long as they get my paycheck, I don't really care about him. There's no kurva. Oh, there's no kurva. Now I can look at my institution with a degree of objectivity. And I can give mussar. I can hand down the law the way it should be because I have nothing to lose. I have nothing to lose, only to gain. We don't have any close relationship anyway. So it's a brilliant technique what the Torah did. Because if not for this drasha, you could argue, you could make the strongest kal v'chomer possible that the kohanim hedyotim should be metame to the kohen gadol. Because I could show you, you could find numerous maimori chazal who show you that the relationship of a talmud to a rebbe far, far is more powerful than the relationship of a son to a father. And if for a son for a father, you metame alachas kan v'kama, the rebbe for the talmud, the talmud for the rebbe, and yet. Shocking. Lo yitam baal ba'amav. The Kohen Gadol dies. No one comes to his funeral. He has no friends. Who's going to come to his funeral? He doesn't. Who does he associate with? Okay, his children. But who does he associate with? His children, just the children, only the close relatives. Because the Kohanim, they're his associates. They can't come. They can't be metame to him. His close relatives, the Israelim, then that's not who he deals with. So anyway, they're not. So therefore, it changes the dynamics of the relationship, which creates a degree that allows him to be effective in his role. Okay, let's go.
For a melech also?
A melech, no. A melech, the whole klal yishol is metam. A melech is only from Yehuda, so a melech is never a kohen. A melech is always a Yisrael. It's always a Yisrael. A melech cannot be a kohen or a levi, has to be shaven Yehuda. The whole klal yishol is metam for the melech. The whole, even that's pashut. That's a different level. Melech is a different story. Okay, let's go to another idea. A beautiful idea came across in the Sefer. The Sefer has a lot of gematrias. It's called Rimzei Torah. Amazing Sefer, from an old Sefer, from a person that has a mashunadik of mind to come up with all of these gematrias and these numbers. It's not, I don't remember his name. I'll bring in the Sefer one day, I'll show you. It's a 2-volume Sefer. And a lot of this stuff, you know me, I'm not a math person. A lot of the gematrias don't really resonate with me. But this was so amazing, I couldn't get over. We have over here in the end of the parasha the sugya of the lechem aponim, the shulchan aton lechem aponim. The parasha pasuk says biyom hashabbos. It's towards the end of the parasha in perik chav gimel pasuk ches biyom hashabbos yarchenu lifnei Hashem tamid. You shall arrange the lechem haponim before Hashem continuously. Me'eis b'nei Yisrael b'ris soilam. Okay, so here again we have the Moadim, then we have the parasha of the Menorah, we have then the lechem haponim, and it tells you have to have the shulchan. On the shulchan you're going to have two arrangements, 6-6, and every single Shabbos arrange the bread on the table, and tamid me'eis b'nei Yisrael b'ris soilam. Then it says, "V'hoisa who gets to eat it." The next pasuk says, "Aroin ubanav va'achalu b'makoyim kadosh ki kodesh kadoshim hulo meishay Hashem chokayla." Okay. Then is the next parsha stuma va'yetzei ben isha yisraelis v'hu ben ish mitzri b'sech ben yisrael va'yinatz b'machne ben yisraelis ben isha yisraeli, and then this man did the unfathomable. Va'yikoyv ben hu isha ha'yisrael says Hashem. He specified Hashem's name. Va'yikalel. And he was Megadif. Vayoviyo Yisrael Moshe, and Moshe had to decide what to do with him. He had to ask Hashem. Hashem said, put him to death. My inyin ze eitzel ze, Rashi explains, you know how it happened? The reason why this man went out and did Naver was because he looked at the lechem upon him, and he said, this is ridiculous. Ribbono shel olam is the melech malchei hamlachim, and you serve him stale bread. The bread is prepared Erev Shabbos on Friday, and it's eaten the following Shabbos. It's 9 days. Shabbos to Shabbos is 8 days. Sunday to Shabbos is 7. Shabbos to Shabbos is 8. You prepare it on Friday. Friday to Shabbos is 9 days. So you're preparing bread on, if you go today and go to the store and you buy challah, and they would tell you the challah was baked last Friday, so the store would go out of business. Go out of business before they even start. They wouldn't even sell. They won't even sell one loaf of bread, one challah. Wouldn't stay in business for one day. And here for the Beis HaMikdash, we make the bread on Friday, and we put it on the table on Shabbos, the next day, and we give it to the Kohanim to eat the following Shabbos 9 days later. So this person says, this is absurd. And he said, "This what kind of religion is this? This is a crazy religion." And he did the unfathomable, Vayikaves Hashem Vayikalel, and then it's all downhill from there. So the question is, that's what it says in Rashi. That's what one of the three interpretations that Rashi gives the smichus of these two parashios. Okay, so that's just the yisoid of the pasuk in Rashi. Now, let me tell you the chiddush that's brought down in the sefer, and then let me try to connect it to the next parasha. And that is, in this parasha, Yom HaShabbos, he counts, there are exactly 53 letters. in this pasuk. Biyom Hashabbos, Biyom Hashabbos, Yarichenu, you shall arrange the lechem aparim on the shulchan. There are exactly 53 letters, and there are exactly 13 words. There are 13 words. It sounds like a grah, but it's not a grah. There are 13 words in this pasuk, and there are 53 letters. So what is the significance? Because he says in a year, when there are 13 months in an Ubi year, this year we have a lot of doubles. We have Achrim Moskidoshim, we have Harbichu Kaisai, Mas Matas Masei, and we had, what do we have, Tajri Mitzorah. We have a lot of doubles. But when you have a year that's an Ibiyar, 13 months of the year, it's possible, not always, but it's very rare. In an Ibiyar, you can lay every single week one parsh. Usually in an Ibiyar, there's at least one Matas Masei. We had it 2 years ago, right? Right. Even when it's an Ibiyar, it's a leap year, so usually Matas Masei. Like that. Okay, Inachanami. We had it like 2 years ago, But theoretically, and that is why the Zohar writes, there are Gan Parashios. We have to prepare for such a situation. What would happen in the year if we only had 52 Parashios, 51 Parashios, 50 Parashios, and it came 2 years ago, we would be stuck. We would be in trouble. Because then how are we going to fit all the week, all the Parashios into the year? So we have, in Zohar, they are called Gan, the garden. Gan Parashios. There are really 54 in our Chumash, the Zois HaBracha. We don't count the Zois HaBracha as the Gan Parashios because we don't lean it on Shabbos. There are many reasons. Okay, there are many reasons to reconcile the fact that we have 54 Parashios in the Torah, and it's we refer to the Parashios as the Gan, the garden. Gimel Nun is 53 because the most common reason is because the Zois HaBracha does not count. Why does the Zois HaBracha not count? The simplest reason, it's not Shabbos. Zois HaBracha does not have to come out on Shabbos. Simchas Torah never comes out on Shabbos. Eretz Yisrael does, Enochanan, but it doesn't have to. It's not Kriva Kaimei. It's only happens by coincidence. It's not Kriva Kaimei. Memela, it's not Nichlal in the Gan Parshas. And in the year, that's a leap year, when there are 13 words, 13 months, the 13 corresponds to the 13 months, then it's theoretically possible every single parish is going to have its own parasha. That's why we have to have, it was arranged, designed, that there should be exactly 53 parashios to prepare for such an eventuality where we're going to need a parasha for every single Shabbos in the Jewish year. Okay, so he says that's exactly why we have this, because that's beautiful, it's B'yoy Ma'Shabbos, B'yoy Ma'Shabbos. Every single Shabbos, Ya'arechenu lifnei Hashem tamid. You arrange the Torah. What's the bread? The subject of the pasuk is the bread. The bread is always a marshal for Torah. Lechu lachamu bilachami. Go out and do battle with my bread. Torah is the bread is a marshal for Torah. Shavuos, the shtei halechem. Torah shebichsav, Torah shebalpeh. It's all over Chazal. Bread is Torah. Arrange it. B'yoyim HaShabbos, B'yoyim HaShabbos. When you come to the Beis HaKnesses on Shabbos, read a parasha. Arrange the Torah HaKadosh according to the Shabbosos of the Shana. Lifnei Hashem in the Beis HaKnesses. Tomid. Who? Me'eis B'nei Yisrael. The whole Klal Yisrael comes to the Beis HaKnesses to read the Sefer Torah. B'ris Olam. This Minog Yisrael. It's not a Minog Halacha. In Yisrael is an eternal covenant. What kind of Jew are you? You don't go to shul on Shabbos to hear the Kriyas HaTorah, to hear the Torah being read, B'yoyim HaShabbos, the arrangement of the 53 letters of this pasuk corresponding to the 53 parashios of the Torah, the 13 words of the pasuk, the 13 months of the year. It's halfly the fella, what it says here in this Sefer. It's just, it's unbelievable, unbelievable. Mamash Ruach HaKodesh to say such a vart. I counted, 53 letters. What? Bubble,
they have 3 years.
Bubble, no, they have 3 years. Eretz Yisrael, they have 3 years. Okay, but even today, in Eretz Yisrael they have it's like bubble one. What? Okay, check what you have, but this is an unbelievable. It's not about Atudim, this is not a gra. This is an idea from this Sefer. I think it's a very old Sefer. Rimze HaTorah half with us. I just want to add the mice of one Ha'ara.
No gematria.
It's not a gematria. There's no gematria. What? Gan, they're Gan, the Zohar writes the Gan Parshios. Gan is Gimel Nun, 53 Parshios. There are 53 letters in this pasuk, and there could not be a better pasuk, B'chol HaTorah Kula, Tanakh, Chumash, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, that Fataych, what exactly you do when you come to the Beis HaKnesses on Shabbos. You could not come up with words that better define what you're doing when you come to hear the Kriyas HaTorah. B'yom HaShabbos, B'yom HaShabbos, Ya'arichenu. Arrange the Torah. Arrange the Torah, which is the Lechem, the Chulachem, the Lechem, Lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, in the Beis HaKnesses, the Shechinah Shorah, Tomit. Every Shabbos, there's no such Shabbos that goes by without laning. Me'es b'nei Yisrael. This is the Bris Olam for Klal Yisrael. This is our connection to the Torah, Talmud Torah D'Rabim. Now, I just want to go weiter. What's the next parasha? Rashi, Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis, v'hu ben Ish Mitzri. We have a person, unfortunately, who was removed from Klal Yisrael. Why was he removed from Klal Yisrael? He didn't appreciate this. He did not appreciate the lechem upon him. He did not appreciate the previous pasuk. Really, it's two pasukim back. This Babi Yamashavas. He didn't appreciate this. Why didn't he appreciate this? You know what he said? He said the Torah is stale. What was the essence of his curse? What was the essence? What was the deficiency of his curse? His deficiency is: I'm coming to shul on Shabbos. We're going to lay in the parsha. A rerun. What is this? A rerun from last year? I already heard this. Okay, maybe turn it around. 180 degrees.
It was the first time.
Put it to the wall. Put it to the wall. Good. To the wall. Mamash. Good. Okay. See that? Now there's less. See that? So there is. So there's 180 degrees. So what am I saying? I'm all mixed up over here. This person comes to shul and he complains. This is a rerun. I pay membership dues to the Shpes HaKnesses, and they're reading this week the exact same thing they read last week. I want some excitement, something new. The bread is stale. The bread is stale. That's what it says in Rashi. The Ben Ish Yisraelis, the Hu Ben Ish Mitzri, B'soch B'nei Yisrael, he comes out and he complains, Mas Michus, the previous parasha. You go and you're serving nine bread that's 9 days old. It's stale. This is the Yisoid of the Shoresh of Emunah in Klal Yisrael. Ha-foich ba, de-kula ba. Torah is timeless. The current events of every day, of every week, are mushrosh in the Torah. The Torah is b'nevuah, p'ruach ha-kodesh b'nevuah. It's timeless. It's not stale. There's nothing more relevant to understand the events of the day than what's in the parasha.
That's what happened in the second year.
What? Every year?
No, but the Torah story happened in the second year. It didn't happen in the first year.
It came through time. There's this collection. I don't know.
Whatever
it is, but it's a collection. This is the Yesoid of the moon. If a person is not a maimon in the Yesoid, ha-feichba, the kulaba, that the Torah addresses. And it's al ruach hakodesh addresses the events that are happening b'yom hashabbos and b'yom hashabbos during the week. Then you don't belong. You're not part of Klal Yisrael. You leave. Vayetze ben isha Yisraelis hu ben ish mitzri. You're not part of Klal Yisrael. This is the mahus of the emun in Klal Yisrael, to connect yourself to the Shem Hashem, to be makir the kedusha of the Hakadosh Baruch Hu is through. The Parashas HaShavua is where you're going to find the answer to all of your questions, your dilemmas, your questions in life. It's mushrush in the Parashas, in Parashah of the Shavua. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here in this week's Parashah, let's discuss the Moadim. Eile Moadei Hashem Asher Tikro Yisam Nikroi Kodesh. What is the word Mo'adei Hashem Asher Tikru'u Oysam, you shall call Mikro'i Kodesh? Now, obviously, from the context of the pasuk, it's clear that the word Mikro, Mo'adei Hashem Asher Tikru'u, you shall call them Mikro'ei. The fact that the pasuk connects the word Mikro'ei with the word Tikru'u, and the word Tikru'u clearly means you shall declare, is teaching you, is that a Yom Tov is a day of declaration. How do we translate? How do you try to retranslate? We call it the festivals, right? The festivals, the holidays. But the Torah calls it Mikro'e, callings of holiness. Who's calling it holy? Well, Hashem calls it holy. But from the context of the pasuk, we are calling it holy. Why are we calling it holy? Because we can manipulate the calendar. We can decide. Bezin can decide: should there be a double Adar or should there be a single Adar? So that means Pesach will fall out a month later, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur a month later. should there be the month, should the month be Moleh, should it be Chaser, should it be 29 days, should it be 30 days? What day of the week will all the holidays follow? Beis Din has the power to manipulate the calendar, and thus by manipulating the calendar, they're calling the shots. They are declaring that this day, that otherwise would have been an ordinary mundane day, a day of activity, of going to work, we're going to declare it to be Rosh Hashanah, and you know what the consequences are? Stock market is closed, the government shuts down, everything changes because Beis Din has declared this day to be holy. But the Targum has a different translation. The Targum, it's not looking, I looked up in the Jastro, I tried really to see, I saw this idea in the safe, I don't remember where I saw this, then just the Rosh Hashanah, just to touch upon, and he claims that when it says in the Targum, Malel Nebnei Yisrael, V'sei Malachoyin, Zimnaya Da Hashem Di, Se'orun, Di Se'orun. So I looked up in the Jastro, there's a very, very long entry on the word Ayin Resh Ayin, they're like, 20 translations in the Jastro. Jastro now is online, so you go look it on your smartphone. It's fascinating. You don't have to own. Yeah, unbelievable. There's a beautiful website. It's beautiful how they did it, how they arranged it. It's fantastic. It's already for like 5 years, at least 5 years. No one has to own that thick book anymore. Okay, it's all online. It's the same. It's the same way you turn in the old Jastro. You turn it online, and there's a very large entry. And one of the meanings of the word Tarun, and it appears that's the way the Targum is using it, means it occurs by accident. You happen upon, like Yikore Kan Tzipor. Now there it's spelled with an aleph, but really the way we translate it is it's a chance occurrence. It's a mikra. It's just by chance. Lokei ho'ivrim nikra oleinu. Nikra Aleinu, it says apostate twice. Once in one place it says it with a hey. It's a coincidence. The word Nikra means you happen to be by accident in the right place at the right time, or someplace, the wrong place and the wrong time. Korach HaBaderach. It happened. An accident. Arai. So temporarily, it's a chance occurrence. So here the Targum really says that. Di Sarun. You're over here, the Mikroi Kodesh means you're going through time. I'm going through time. It's now the spring. We're coming to the end of April. And there's a day on the calendar. And this day on the calendar, it's nothing special. It's not Saturday. Shabbos, no matter what, Saturday is always Shabbos. Kiri v'kaimi. But this day is an ordinary day, nothing special. It's an accident. It's just an accident that happens to fall out during the time of the year when coincides with the Jewish calendar, when we want Pesach to fall out, when Pesach is going to come. So, Beis Din declares, oh, this day is now going to be Pesach. But from the days, let's say the day we would give life, human characteristics to the day, to the Zman, the day would say, wow, my lucky day. It would say, it didn't have to be that I'm going to be holy. It's just a coincidence. Because this day, if Beis Din would declare there to be a double adar, Pesach would be pushed off a month. If Beis Din would declare this month to be chaser, then this day would not be Pesach. Moleh v'chulu v'chulu. So the fact that any given day in the calendar occurred, turns out to be a Jewish holiday, besides Shabbos, is a coincidence. That day could have been mundane, or it could be Kodesh. The fact that the calendar worked out and happens to be that this day is a holy day, it's a mikra. It's a mikra with a hey, not with an aleph, mikra with a hey, and that's what the Targum really says. These days that just happen to fall out in your way in the Jewish calendar, oh, declare them holy. So we have over here a yisoid telling us what is the essence of the mo'adim. The Mo'adim, it's not just, it's a day that we reminisce and we reenact and we commemorate the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim and Aniyah Kavod and the Matan Torah and bring Korbanos and Sukkos. It's telling us to take things, take time, to take moments of time in life which really are mundane and to give them sanctity. The whole essence of a holiday is to look at things that happen by coincidence and realize it's not really a coincidence. It's a mikra, mitzad echad, it's a day in the year, which is just ordinary time, there's nothing special about it. I can do any malacha I want, there are no restrictions, and yet, Now we're going to say, you know, something in this day that is the Zaman, this time period that appears to be ordinary, unspectacular, pedestrian, is now going to be magnificent. It's going to be elevated to a degree of sanctity. We're going to commemorate, we're going to reenact, we're going to bring the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim to us. Chayev Adam Laharoi says, Akiilu Hu Yotzam in Mitzrayim. Mimela, the Mo'adim, is really a marshal for everything in life. Because everything in life is all what you make out of it. You can get up in the morning and do nothing. And that's it, it's fine. No one's going to hold you responsible. You don't have no obligation. But yet, if you take your time and you declare Mikroi Kodesh, time that would ordinarily be spent as just being ordinary and boring and unholy, and you elevate it and you catapult it to something spiritual and magnificent, you are following in the ways of the Mo'adim. The Mo'adim are not just set days in the calendar, because the Torah is telling us these days in the calendar are be'emes nothing. See, that's the point I want to make. We don't think of it like that. We brought up as children, we look at Shabbos, sacred. Shabbos, and that's right, Shabbos is sacred. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Chanukah by extension, sacred. When does it fall out? Well, that's another issue of how exactly we get. But that's not for our concern. That's not our concern how it came out in the calendar. The calendar, someone made a calendar for us. The bottom line is, these are sacred times of the year. It's not the pshat. It's not the pshat. Shabbos is sacred. But the other days of the holiday, they're not sacred days. It's much, much deeper. They're ordinary days. There's nothing special about them. Torah is telling us, you make that time special. It's a mikra. It's an accident that the calendar happens to fall out during that time. But now take the two meanings of the word mikra. It's an accident. But don't write the word mikra with a hey. Write it with an aleph. With an aleph, which means declare, sanctify it. Make something out of this time. Do something magnificent. Remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. And use the Mo'adim. We all know that we live on the Mo'adim. The whole Mo'adim is what keeps us through the entire year. The inspiration you have on the Mo'adim is what keeps you the car going, the gas going, the car going for, until the next Mo'ad. What do we look forward to? What is the whole life? What is this life cycle? What is the whole calendar? It's yearning for the next Mo'ad, and it's carrying over the chiba, the chiba what we took from the previous Mo'ad. It's life. This is the mashal for the entire life. Take opportunities that are nothing, that are just ordinary, unspectacular, and take advantage and elevate it, make it from a mikra to with a hey to a mikra with an aleph.
That's what you say to
Baruch. Kaddish Yisrael Vazman. Oh,
because you're making the holy.
It makes it holy.
Right.
Okay. Now let's go to another idea. Now, I want to warn you. I want to warn you very clearly. I don't have anything to say. I want to make some observations. And the things that I'm going to say may even, to me, border, I'm telling you now, border on apikursis, chas v'shalom. Okay? But I want you to think about this. The questions are very tough questions, and there are dvarim ha'emdim beruba shel olam hidden in these issues, and I don't know what they are. But maybe it'll be a topic of discussion to figure out some depth of what lies behind these areas. Now, let me read you this Rashi. Rashi over here, is, let's talk about the Megadif. The Megadif, we like to say, we don't even say the word, so we say the one that was the Mevar, the one who blessed Hashem, which is the euphemism for what he really did. Okay, so it's Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis. We have here a person in a very strange yichus. We don't even want to give this man a name. He has a Jewish mother. That's it. He's a Ben Isha Yisraelis. V'hu, he's also a Ben Ish Mitzri. His father was a Mitzri. Now, does that mean his father was a convert? Moshe also said he was a Mitzri, right? I'm an Ish Mitzri. But Moshe was the Rabban Shel Isha. But that's not what it means over here. It means over here that his father was a Goy. His father was a Goy, his mother was Jewish. Do you have to be Megayer, or what's the status if your mother is Jewish? So it's a double Pashra and Oyit, Bisman Azer, the mother is Jewish, you're Jewish. Finished. Okay. But it's not the way it was. Exactly. So someone born, let's just get the put out of the way. Yisod. Why that's so, I don't know, but that's how it is. Since this person was born before Matan Torah, just because his mother was Jewish does not make him Jewish. The Iker is the father. Okay, he was, this man was born before Matan Torah, so therefore we follow the father, even though by Matan Torah everyone was Megayer. There are a lot of questions over here which are very hard to answer. Everyone was Megayer by Matan Torah, but whatever the reason is, this person was unique in that his father was a Goy and his mother was Jewish, and therefore technically according to the letter of the law he's not Jewish. But what does it say in the Pasuk? This man whose mother was Jewish, father was a Goy, who ben ish mitzri, he went out besoch b'nei Yisrael. Rashi says those three words are teaching us a very important yisod. Rashi pasuk besoch b'nei Yisrael. What happened? He was megayer besoch b'nei Yisrael. I'm not making this up. Milamed shenis gayer. Rashi, this teaches us these three words that this Goy, because his father was a Goy, became a Jew. He converted. Fine. Now what did he do? He went out and he did something to Vayikov. Vayikov means he was explicit. He took the name of Hashem, whatever name this is, I don't know what name, whatever, Rashi says from the name of Man by Har Sinai, whatever this is, he specified a very mystical shame Hashem. Vayikov ben, and we repeat, ben Ho'isha Hayisraelis. We only mention here his mother. For some reason we don't mention his father.
Because he's Jewish.
But all right, fine. Okay, now okay, good. I like your answer. Good. Okay, Es Hashem. He specified Hashem's name, and he did the unfathomable. Vayikalel. Vayaviu. They brought him. They right away arrested him. You're under arrest. You do not have a right to a lawyer, and everything you say will be held against you. Okay, and they took him. Vayaviu Oso El Moshe. V'shem, now we mention his mother, v'shem ish, imahu bar, who was he? He was shloimis bas divri lemate don. What did they do with him? Vayanichu bam mishmar, they put him in prison, they put him in a holding cell. Lifroi shlohem al pi Hashem, to wait for Hashem to tell Hashem what to do with this person. Okay, question, what happened? Hashem responds, Hoseas amakal michutz machanev, v'samchu, take him out, v'samchu kol Hashem, anyone who heard him say this, they should rest their hands upon him and they should stone him. And then all of a sudden Hashem spoke, you know, now's a good opportunity for me to teach you some halachas. Halacha number one is, if you ever, anyone who ever does this again, death sentence. Anyone who tries to do this again is Mevarach Hashem, that's it, it's over. You're going to be stoned. And then, let me teach you some other halachas. If you hit your friend, you get into a boxing match, and you hurt your friend, you're going to be punished also. The ish kiyakeh. Kol nefesh adam. If you kill someone, most you must. If you kill someone's animal, like nefesh behema, you shalmen, you're going to pay for the animal. Nefesh tachas nefesh. And make a mum, shever tachas shever. Ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein. Kasha yitin mum ba'odam ken yinosin lo. Make a behema yishalmena. Mishpat echad, we go through all the laws of fights. People getting into fist fights. People going out and destroying other people's property. Property damage and Physical harm. Okay, we go through a whole my inyan shmita etzel har Sinai. Why is this a continuation of the parasha of Mevarech Hashem? So the answer to these questions has to lie in the story at the beginning of Parasha Shemos, when Moshe goes out. Okay, Moshe goes out among his brothers. He sees an ish mitzri, maki ish ivri meyachav. Who was the ish mitzri? It was the father of this person. The ish mitzri that Moshe Rabbeinu sees is.
Yeah, that's the
system. Okay, let me cut right exactly. Vayhi bayom vayhi vayigdal Moshe vayetzei elecha vayar b'sivlos vayar ish mitzri. That's going to be the person's father. Make ish ivri me'echof. Vayifen koi v'chodah. Who was the ish ivri? The ish ivri was the husband of Shloimis Bas Divri. This ish mitzri went and had relations with Shloimis Bas Divri in disguise as being her husband. And then when her husband realized what happened, and there was a scuffle, there was a confrontation between the ish mitzri and the husband of Shloimis Bas Divri, so they got into a fight. So Moshe is observing, and here are the critical words. Vayifen koi v'choi. Moshe looked here and there. What does it mean? So Rashi either means he looked what he did in the tent. He was mezana with his wife. He looked that he's beating him up. He looked what he did in private. He looked what he's doing now. Dayar kienish. And then it says in Rashi, he looked at him and he saw. It simply means no one is watching. I can get away with it. NSA satellites are all down. FBI doesn't have a director. So you can do now whatever you want. When the cat's away, the mice will play. You can do whatever you want now. I can do whatever I want. Vayar ki ein ish. See, there's no one watching. See, mamish hafeich hafeich with kulubal. Well, that's parsha shemos, but it ties into this parsha. No one is watching. You can do whatever you want. One. Vayaches hamitzri. He killed the mitzri. Vayitneu vachol and he hit him in the sand. Rashi says another interpretation. Vayar ki ein ish. What is the min ki ein ish? So what is the drush? The midrashic interpretation, pasuk yud beis, vayar ki vayifin koy v'koy. First, like we raw mosel b'bayis and mosel b'sadeh. Ulefi pshuta kimashmo. The symbol interpretation is Moshe turned to his left, he turned to his right. No one is watching. I can kill him. I'll get away with it. Vayar ki einish. And Rashi here says she'ein ish osid lotseis mimenu sheyiskayer. It's never going to happen that a person will, that if I let this man live in the history of the entire world, it will never happen that one of this man's descendants will become a Ger Tzedek. So therefore, there's no harm done in eliminating a non-Jew from this world. So this you learn that you can't kill a non-Jew. You learn Mordechai yourself. You're not allowed to kill a non-Jew. Because you kill a non-Jew, who knows what harm you're causing Klal Yisrael. Maybe the day will come that from a non-Jew will come a Jew. So this is an amazing thing. Every non-Jew out there has potential to be part of Klal Yisrael. So you're not allowed to kill a non-Jew. You never know what's going to be. But Moshe al pi ruach hakodesh, it's never going to happen. A non-Jew is going to be megayer.
At this particular one.
Vayak yenish, vayak mishri. Question. The Siv Zecham asked a question. First of all, the Ramban. So okay, let's go further. Vayetze bayom achu. Let's go further for a moment. Vayetze bayom who next passed. Vayom Hasheni. And Moshe zinei shnei anoshim ivrim nitzim. There are two Jews, Dosan va'avim, are fighting. Vayom al Rosh lo masakiriyecha. Vayom er mi samcha. Dosan says to Moshe, mi samcha leish sar v'shavir leinu. Halor gein yato oimer. You're going to kill me. You're going to kill me with the dibur like kasher harakdes hamitzri. Now I know why Klal Yisrael suffer so much, because they're all Baal Lashon Hara, they're Daltorim, they're quarrelers, they're bad people. I now know why they suffer like no one else. They have bad midos amongst them. Question. Ramban asked the question. How did Dosan Vaviram know that Moshe killed him? It's a Beferish Apostle. Vayar, Pshutu Shomikro. Vayar, Vayifen, Ko Vilcho, Vayar Kienish. I turn to my left, to my right, back and forth. No one is watching. Only Hashem is watching. And therefore, I can kill him. So Moshe said, no one's watching. So how then did Dosan Vaviram find out? How did they find out? What's going on here? So Ramban asked the question. Nigila Lohem. Look at the Ramban. Ramban does not. But if the Pasuk says there was no one watching, so that means Moshe made a mistake? That's Apikursus, right? I don't want to say that. Moshe made. Ramban doesn't answer the question. Ramban does not answer the question. Ramban just asked the question. It's a Pella Atsuma. How Moshe said, Vayar Kienish. Moshe had X-ray vision. Moshe. What happened to the husband of Shalom? He went back to marry her. He went back to live with her.
No, but he wasn't there at the time that
he came to school.
He wasn't there when he killed him. No, he wasn't there by Yarkinish. He was not there when he killed him. Ramban asked the question, it is a Pella Atsuma. How? No answer can be found. How did Dosan Va'aviron find out that Moshe Rabbeinu killed this Mitzri? You'll tell me the answers. The Mepharshim talk about, you'll find answers. All of the answers, they're answers. They don't satisfy the question. If Moshe says Vayar Ki Einish, that meant Moshe, the Chacham Mikol Adam, knew he can get away with this. Moshe can get away with this. No one's going to find out. And yet, the next day, didn't take centuries later someone to write a book and to go dig up DNA to go figure this out. The next day, you're going to kill me like you killed the guy yesterday. I know what you did yesterday. It's a Pella. So Moshe, you have to say simply, it's a Pella. I don't want to say this because you can't say this, right? Moshe, someone was watching. Okay, there was a webcam. There was a drone in the sky. There was a drone in the sky that was watching down. They knew what was going on. They saw it. Okay, now, next question. When this man was born, when this man had a relation with Shlomis Bas Divri, what happened? She became pregnant. And what happened with that? And what happened with this? So what does Rashi over here say? What does Rashi say? That this Ben Ish Yisrael, who Ben Ish Yisraelis, Ben Ish Mitzri, V'soich B'nei Yisrael, Milamed Sheniskaya. But it's Moshe Suvayar Kienish. No one's going to ever, a descendant from this man will never be Megayer.
But she was, must have had the kid.
So the Siv say, Chacham, give your answer. And they say, that since she was already pregnant, there's no future. Since she was already pregnant, since it's only one day, it's not even really called pregnant in one day, but since she was already, everything was in motion, it's already in motion from the day before, so it means no one else. This child was already on the way to become a Jew. But no, there was going to be no future casualties of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's an answer, but it's not a satisfying answer. The bottom line over here is that this man already fathered a child that will one day be Megayah. Having a goy, having a child that's a Ger Tzedek, is a very big zechus for him. It's a very big zechus, and you don't know how, it's not uncommon how that child can turn around the father, and you don't know how things work, but if Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's still a pella that these two Rashis contradict one another. Vayar Kienit, I know all the answers. You have all the Sifzei Chacham answer the question, the other answer the question, but I just want to, as I told you, I don't know the concreteness, I just want to point out is that the answers do not satisfy fully the questions. The questions are, Vayar Kienish, it's never going to happen that this man's going to be responsible for bringing into the world the Ger Tzedek. And now Raj is Beferish, and this man, Taka, became a Ger Tzedek. He did become a Ger Tzedek. So I want to say, okay, this is maybe, I don't want Chashom to say the wrong thing, is just like with the Pshutai, Rashi, Rabban says, who told Dasan Vaviran that no one knew? Vayar, Vayithen Koi Vichoi. He turned left and right. No one is watching. No one is watching. I can kill him. I killed him. The next day, oh, Moshe, you're going to do to me like you did to the guy yesterday. So Moshe basically did not realize that Taka, someone was watching. Moshe, you have to say, made a mistake. Could you say that? I don't know if you can say that. The same way with the shot, Moshe Rabbeinu did not see it fully. It could very well be, Lefi the Drush, Moshe thought no one will come out of him. But someone really did come out of him. The Farish and the Pasuk, someone did come out of him. And now, the Parsha, by the way, has a whole new meaning. This child was bitter. He was bitter because he was a Yosan. He was brought up without a father. His father was killed by Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because Moshe made a mistake. This child, maybe you could even say, was Megayer, maybe you can say, I told you, I'm just throwing out ideas, I think out loud, was Megayer Lahachas. Moshe Rabbeinu, this child, was a guy, right, before Matan Torah. I have no father. Where's my father? Moshe killed my father. Why did Moshe kill my father? So he went to Cheder, they learned the Cheder, Vayar Kienish. Because a child's not going to come out. He was Megayer. I'm Jewish. Vayikoy Ves Hashem. He goes to Moshe, he specifies the shame. The same shame that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, said to kill my father. Oh, you remember that shame? Vayikalel. And Moshe Rabbeinu was now stunned. You got me. Look, you got me. Here you have, I killed your father, Vayar Kienish. You're presenting, you're specifying the Shem Hashem. Here you are, a child that was Megayer. I'm Jewish. If my father was alive, I would have convinced him to also come, Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. What did you do? You caused me to suffer. You caused me to grow up without a father. He was bitter. Vayikalel. Doesn't even say that he was Mekal Hashem. You read the positive, you can learn Derech Jewish, it was Mekal Moshe Rabbeinu. Right. He specified the Shem Hashem, and he cursed. Who did he curse? Lefi Pshutai, it was Ribbono Shel Olam, Lefi Drush, I curse you, Moshe. Look, remember the Shem Hashem, what you did to kill my father? Because you saw Vayar Kienish, well, you were wrong doubly. They know about it. Dos and Vavim knew about it within 24 hours. And this that you say the Jewish, that no one's going to be Megayer. Oh, here I am. I was Megayer. So you were wrong. Vayikalo. What? That's still a mystery. That's a mystery. The Ramban doesn't answer the question. The Ramban is talking to the Ramban. Maybe he doesn't. It seems like he doesn't answer the question. So what's going on over here? Moshe Rabbeinu was stunned, and he's no Gerbedover. Menela, leave it to Hashem. Now, then when he teaches him, what does Hashem teach him? This brought back the whole story. That's why Pashtun, he brings back all this fighting. Because once we have to revisit The Maitse, Vayar Kedish, we have to revisit Dosan Va'aviron. They were fighting with each other. They were beating each other up. Memela, Shever Tachashever, Ayin Tachasayin, Shein Tachashein. The laws that follow from this Maitse are all the laws that deal with Shnei Anoshim Ivrim Nitzin. When two Jewish people fight, they destroy each other's property and they destroy each other's guf. Memela, that's why all the parish, the whole parish comes back, becomes relevant once again. The only drush I want to take out of this and say is the following Yisoid is that. The truth is, you don't really know what the future will bring. That's really what you learn from this. Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayithen Koi V'Choi Vayar Ki Einish, and he killed him. And now this is coming to haunt Moshe Rabbeinu. It's haunting him. Why? You predicted the future. No, the prophet was, first of all, two things. First of all, you think no one's watching now? Vayithen Koi V'Choi Vayar Ki Einish? Guess what? Big Brother is watching. That's the yisod number one. Yisod number two is, you think you know the future? Even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the future. Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, I don't know if you can say this, that's why I'm very afraid to say such a thing like this. But how are we dealing? You have to deal, the Mefarshim are dealing with these questions. And the thing that Pshuto is, it's a lesson for life. You really, really don't know what the future can bring. People think they have their whole life written, spelled out for them. It's either some people, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be bells and whistles. Everything's going to be wonderful. And for some people, they already, it's doomsday. They already see in front of them, it's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I might as well just go into the grave. They should bury me alive because there's nothing going to happen. You don't really know. Even Moshe Rabbeinu that says, Vayarki Enish, wasn't true. Here it is. We have over here the child. He's Megaya. He is Megaya. Moshe is stunned. Moshe has to stand back. Moshe doesn't know what he's, one of the few times in the Torah, Moshe didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. I got to consult with the Rebbe Yisrael because I'm stunned. I don't know. You got me. If Moshe Rabbeinu was taken aback, Allah has come to come, we should never chalom zach to think that we know what the future can bring for us. One way or another, we have to hope we must fall for the future. I don't want to leave you out with Lag BaOmer. One just quick word for Lag BaOmer. What is Lag BaOmer? Lag BaOmer is the day when Rashbi, when the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. And the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, they stopped dying. In the Mela, it was a time when we can relieve the... But what happened on that day when they stopped dying? Rabbi Akiva took new Talmidim. He took for himself new Talmidim, five new Talmidim. The godless is not that they stopped dying. The godless was the resilience of Rabbi Akiva. Even though my Talmidim, they're all gone, we're going to start all over again. And who did he take as one of his Talmidim? Rashbi. Rashbi was the quintessential Talmud. The Gemara says that when Rabbi Akiva was in jail, because they wanted to kill him, because he was Malamed Torah Barabim, so Rashbi went to Rabbi Akiva and said, Rabbi, teach me Torah. And Rabbi Akiva said, I can't. If I'll teach you Torah, they'll kill us all. He said, so Rashbi, if you don't teach me Torah, I'm going to call my father Yochai. I have him speed dial. I'm going to call him up, and then he's going to kill you. And Rashbi forced Rabbi Akiva to teach him Torah. What do we learn from this, Yisoid? That Rashbi was the quintessential Talmud. He was the quintessential Talmud. He was willing to learn from his Rabbi Akiva. Under the most dire circumstances, Rabbi Akiva, when his Talmidim were nifter, he took a new Talmud, Rashbi, five Talmidim, one of them was Rashbi, and Rashbi was toivea, like none other to learn. What else was Rashbi? Rashbi was the quintessential Rebbe for Klal Yisrael. He's the one who said, Shchas v'sholom shetishokach Torah miYisrael. The Rabbanim were arguing. They were arguing, what's going to happen in times of access to the Mashiach? Will Torah be forgotten? All the Rabbanim said, yeah. It's going to happen. It's a pasuk in Navi. It's going to happen. It's gloom and doom. The world's going to come to an end. And Rashbi got up and he clapped on the table and he says, Chas v'sholom shetishtokach Torah miYisrael, and I'm going to make sure that Torah is not forgotten from Klal Yisrael. And he went on to teach his Talmidim, and he went on to the Megala, the Sisrei Torah, and the Sisrei Torah is the technique that he used to make sure that Torah would not be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. So what do we learn from Rashbi? Rashi Mitzadecha was the quintessential Talmud, and he's also the quintessential Rebbe. Lag BaOmer represents, is Rashbi, it represents the Mesorah. The Mesorah is the link. It's the link from the Talmud to the Rebbe. The one that was well, that captures the essence of what a Talmud is and what a Rebbe is. The synthesis of a Talmud Rebbe, all wrapped up in one package, is Rashbi. This is the simcha of Lag Ba'omer. It is the continuation of the Shalsheles HaTorah. Mitzad the Talmud and Mitzad the Rebbe. Have a wonderful Shabbos.